It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, hey, closet dwellers and closet busters. It's me, Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach. We're back here on the Coming Out Lounge with another episode, just kind of exploring what are those closets? How do you get out of them? What can you do? And today we're going to reverse the beat a little bit because I know many of you feel isolated, lonely, like you don't fit in. These are all really, truly common real common feelings that we have during our journeys coming out to be ourselves. And sometimes you're going to feel like in those darkest moments that you just want to fucking give up or give in. Yet, you know what? The real kick-ass triumph happens when you learn your own way to reverse the beat and thrive. Now, I know you're wondering, okay, well, where did Rick come up with this phrase, reverse the beat? Well, we're going to call in some help here to talk about reversing the beat. I'm going to be talking today with the beautiful Dina Delicious from New York City. She's a transgender personality who's doing amazing stuff as a recording artist and actress. She's been doing some really cool stuff in the past few weeks here, being right out there in the Pride Festivals, helping us kind of come back together as a community and moving things forward. And I can't wait to just bring her on the show, talk about some of the wild and unpredictable things that happen as we go through this journey to really shine as ourselves. Because you know what? When we shine, when we stand strong, we send a signal. And I'm stealing some of her words from her latest single, Reverse the Beat. When we shine, we send the signal that it ain't over, we ain't finished, we're not even close because we're just beginning. I want to welcome to the Coming Out Lounge the beautiful, the fabulous, the talented Dina Delicious. Welcome to the podcast, Dina.
Hey, hello. Thank you for having me. That was a beautiful intro.
Well, thank you. And I know you have been going like a crazy girl lately, just kind of traveling all over the space of this planet. So why don't you tell the listeners what you've been up to in the past few weeks as Pride season kind of wrapped up and everything?
Well, I did the ABC telecast for New York City Pride this year, which I was really, really happy with. I released Reverse the Beat that week.
Awesome.
And then from there, I went on to do the main stage at San Diego Pride. Mm-hmm. I emceed as well as performed. And I'm currently in conservatory here for theater, mm-hmm. in the theater department. So I'm like just juggling different worlds, so to say.
Right. You know?
And, you know, I'm just happy to be working, you know, and doing what I want to do. And it's a great time for me right now.
Mm-hmm. And you know what I love about what you're doing is you're burning a lot of candles at many different ends, doing all the stuff that you love. But the candle you're really burning brightly is you can be who you want to be in your own skin, in your own gender identity, in your own sexuality, and inspiring other people. And I know that Reverse the Beat really was a work of love that, you know, I'm going to let you kind of tell the story, but I know from what I've read, you knew that you could go really dark with this, but instead you decided to flip it around and really make it a beacon song, an anthem for stepping forward. So why don't you tell us about what really inspired you in this song?
Well, when I wrote this song many years ago. And it was, you know, during a time when I was not so much in a great place in my life, so to say, mentally, and just feeling very down and not feeling very uplifted, so to say.
Yeah.
And I kind of felt lonely. And I wrote this song. It was like, it became like a companion to some degree. And it took on different meanings as time went on. I never released it. I never finished it. And then I just reworked some of the lyrics this year, and I was like, it's time for this song. And it's really about empowerment. It's really about taking things that life throws at you that aren't always going to be so great,
yep.
and that aren't so positive, and reversing them into, take that negativity and reversing it into something more joyful, more brighter, and that you could, you know, get through anything.
Absolutely.
And I always feel that music is just such an uplifting for me, it's just the most uplifting thing in the world, because if anything in my life is not going right, I'll just put a song on that'll put me in the mood and changes my way of feeling at that moment so that I can get through whatever it is I'm going through. I really write for that reason. I write to inspire. I think as a trans woman, it's very important for me to not only be visible, but to have a message.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm responsible to. Some people say that that's their responsibility. I feel responsible to, you know, be a part of the world. I feel like I'm responsible to be a part of the world in a very active way. And my way of being active is through my music and through my activism and working with certain groups. And I mean, I really work with anybody who needs, any group that asks me to, because I believe that, you know, if I can help anyone, I will.
Yeah, yeah. And this has been a part of you, this, you know, music and all of this has been a part of you for a really long time. This wasn't
my whole life.
It's been your whole life, right?
Yeah, I went to the High School of Performing Arts, and I was a theater major there, and I was writing music even in school. I was writing music as a kid. I always, it was just like a natural thing for me.
Right.
And I went to High School of Performing Arts, and then I was going to go on to a very prestigious college. But I realized that there was not a place for someone like me in the arts at that time.
Yeah.
It was a very upsetting, but a very real moment. I knew that I was already in transition, and even though it wasn't visible yet, and I just knew that there was, at that time, I wasn't able to have a career. There was no room for a transgendered person in music. There was no room for a transgendered person in the theater or on TV and film, where there is now. I kind of like lost that dream, and I never lost it, but I had to put it to the side.
Yeah.
And it's only until, I would say, the 10 years ago that I just had to empower myself. That dream is not going to get lost, and you're going to have that dedication again, and you're going to work hard again. Because I find that I excel best when I'm working and I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, because like sometimes you can't see, like in the song, it says you can't see out when you are in it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's a very powerful line in the song, because sometimes you can't see out when you're in it. And that's
Absolutely.
The most important time that you should reverse the beat.
Yes, yes. I agree with you 100%. I've been going through some stuff myself in the last week. And what I woke up to finally was, wait, Rick, you can't see what's out there because you're just looking in. You got to look outside of this. You got to realize that you can be beyond this. And, you know, I do this work every day. I work with people every day about, okay, come on, turn your thoughts, change your mindset, flip things around. And even though I do it daily, there is stuff that I find myself getting caught in. And then, of course, as soon as I got to your information and I saw reverse the beat, I'm like, I love this, because that's what it takes. It's about that reversing the beat and really going, okay, how can I truly put myself in this opposite space? How can I turn things around and look at it and know, even as I journey back the other direction, doesn't mean it's going to be a cakewalk, but once we make that determination to flip it around, things start to get better, even if only marginally better, they do start to get better. So when you were going through those tough spots, just for reference for the listeners, was it in the 80s, the 90s? When was those spots for you?
Well, I was born in Brooklyn,
okay.
Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, which is a very, not a rough neighborhood in the sense of crime and stuff, but it was a very Italian immigrants. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and there was a, I was teased and all that, but that was just like part of my life. So when I went to performing arts, it was like freedom for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I got to be around other creative people, and I really started to see myself in that light. But it was the 90s was when I started my transition and left school and I finished school. But, you know, I suffered some tragic losses, family losses.
Yeah.
And it really put me in a very dark place. Mm-hmm. And I had to make some very adult decisions
right.
that I didn't really know how to make.
I think this is something that many of us miss right now in current day. And I know you can completely relate to this because I know you've got some connections to, you know, Laverne Cox and some others that are really helping pay.
I worked with Laverne.
Yeah.
Yeah. I worked with Laverne for many, many years.
Yeah. But what we miss because, and I'm really wanting to talk to the younger generation right now is you miss that in the 80s, the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, all those decades ago. And I'm a kid of the 80s, so I graduated high school in the 80s, went to college in the 80s. It was such a different world. I mean, yes, there was a little bit of presence of gay, lesbian, trans was not something that anybody was really talking about.
No, it was, not at all.
It was, if anything, it was like scary, campy stuff. You know, the Rocky Horror Picture Show was probably as close to trans that we were getting. And even that, it was a very cultish sort of thing. So we were in such a different space and time that it was a very heavy weight to carry, whether you were gay, lesbian, bi, trans. Those weights were so heavy. And for you to have started to make those transition, even in the early 90s, I mean, let's get real. Ellen DeGeneres wasn't even playing out at that point in time. So it shows a lot about how far we've come, even though it's taken all this time and we're still fighting. I mean, I just bow down to my trans brothers and sisters because it's your fight. Right now, we are in the throes of your fight more than anything right now. And I feel for you, and I honor and just praise you all that are going and doing the kind of work like you're doing, Dina, because you're the ones that are really calling the revolutionaries to come forward and say, we're going to stand together.
Thank you very much for that. I believe in people, and I believe that there's more good than there is bad. I make a conscious decision to believe that. Mm-hmm. Because I think that we need to empower each other instead of looking for political figures to empower us.
Mm-hmm. So what's your core empowerment? Like, I know you're very much into advocacy. You're willing to go do any charitable things. So what's your core message that you would like people to really know from your perspective? I know you probably got many like me. I've got lots of messages, but there's something about what you just said that's like, let's go empower this. I know you've had a big push in the last few weeks at Pride festivals that you're really like trying to bring us all back together under one common message and one common, you know, work. What would you say that is?
Well, I think that for me, my message is always and has always been that love can conquer anything, and that unity and support, you know, I see people that don't support each other, but they want to, you know, they need to be, I really wish that people were just a little bit more united. Even our own communities need to be a little bit more united.
Our own community is, and I always get hate mail as soon as I say something like this. I just feel like our own
community. So do I, and I don't care.
I don't care either. It's like our own community is so divided that how can we expect people to support us when we're not using a divided, you know, a combined front to go, we are in this together.
I've been doing Pride in New York City for 5 years. This was my fifth year. I have the privilege, it is a privilege and it's an honor, and I do not take it for granted at all to be able to do any Pride festivals with the one in New York. And that's when I see the unity, and that keeps me going. And I wish that we could all have that every day. I wish that we would realize that in all of those numbers and all of those colors, there's so much beauty and so much strength that if we could channel that more and push each other more further, we would demolish anything that's in front of us.
Mm-hmm. But we can't demolish anything.
All of these bathroom bills and stuff, it's so ridiculous. I never experienced any of that. Mm-hmm. And now to see this, it hurts me because children are growing up feeling less than, and that's horrible.
Yes.
And these are horrible messages that we are sending out to children in general, not just trans children or LGBT children, any child to already learn separatism in that way is horrendous. And it's just plain mean.
Mm-hmm. It is mean, and it's bullying. I mean, I know we talk about this a lot on this program about where's the bullying. Well, the bullying starts everywhere. It starts in our own community as much as it starts in the world, you know, and I wish we could learn to be a united front. I happen to have a daughter who's bisexual, and that part of the community is also a tough one. People are like, oh, you just can't decide who you are. No, it's just who they are. That's how they show up. And it gets really frustrating that we can't seem to be in this united space when all of us are facing the marginalization and the potential, you know, hypocrisy and phobias and everything that come along with it, when now is the time that we most should be uniting and really going, yes, this is part of my community. This person here, they represent me as much as I represent them. And it's sad. It's sad. So what are some of the big charity things that you are really involved with that you feel like are making a big difference right now on the planet?
Well, internationally, I've done the Life Ball in Vienna, Austria, which is a huge HIV prevention and awareness organization that I absolutely adore. And I've been working with them for a few years. Mm-hmm. Here in New York, I've worked at the Audre Lorde Project, which is an amazing project that focuses on non-binary trans people of color. It's a very big umbrella that they are very welcoming and loving. And it's just an amazing group of people that are on the street, hitting the pavement. I'm looking forward to working with God's Love We Deliver, and I'd like to also do some things with JMHC. I lost my dad in the 80s to AIDS, so I've always, you know, that's very important and a touchy thing for me. Mm-hmm. I always try to advocate for some of the elderly now that are not getting the proper care that they deserve from the HIV community. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes the youth think it's done when it's not. We are far from over. Just because you take PrEP doesn't mean that this doesn't exist.
So I can sense that there's a personal story there with losing your father to AIDS. So was he a gay man?
Not to my mother, he wasn't.
Yeah, no. And that's why I asked the question, because I felt like there's this there's the shell that people
are... I don't know. You know, I don't know if I don't know if there was something I don't know. Mm-hmm. I really don't, you know.
Because I think those are the moments where, you know, we can share this stuff, that let's not make the assumption. And I know my question sounded very assumptive, but it was purposeful. It's like back in those times, you couldn't know. Maybe somebody experimented one time and that's what happened. It could be that, yes,
but I'll tell you,
in the closet that they couldn't come out. But there's so many things, so many assumptions that come out of those kind of stories. Continue with what you were going to say. I'm very fascinated where it's you're sharing right now.
Even though it was such a stigma, and it still is a stigma in this country, no matter what anybody says, I believe it's people still stigmatize HIV positive people. Even though at that time it was such a huge stigma and there was such fear, my mother was she didn't care. Like, she knew what, you know, they were separated for many years already, but she made sure that she never told us not to say what my father had. She was like, she wanted, not that she wanted people to know, but she wanted us to not live with that kind of fear and not to be able to say it. She wanted us to be able to say it. I always commend to her on that, because it takes a strong woman to not only say that her ex-husband has AIDS, especially during that time, but she wanted us to also acknowledge it so that we wouldn't hold that fear in us forever. Mm-hmm. I always remember that. Very important.
Well, it is a fear. It's a fear that people hold in them. It's like, oh my gosh, whatever. You know, I remember when my uncle was in the last days of, you know, passing from HIV and AIDS, and, you know, friends of mine, when I told him I went to the hospital to visit him, there was like almost like a physical reaction to, you mean you were in the same hospital room? Yes, I was in the same hospital room. Did you touch him?
Yeah.
So I touched him. You know, it's like, we didn't know what it was. We kind of knew what it was at that point in time. But I mean, it was some of the most moving pieces in my own history that I still can bring to mind. Like, even as we're talking about it right now, I can feel the presence of being there and going, it's just somebody I care about. It's somebody I love. This is just what it is. And I wish we could really help people understand that those moments are what got us where we are today, to being more open, more compassionate, even though we've got a lot of work yet to go do in that arena.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm very hopeful a cure and a vaccine are on the horizon. I just see it. And I'm sticking to it. That's how I
feel. There you go. So it sounds like your mother's a pretty amazing woman. I mean, she to have gone through that with your father and then to be on the journey with you through your transition. She sounds like she's an amazing woman, but I don't know that. So what would you like to share with your listeners about your journey with your mom?
My mother was amazing. And unfortunately, I lost my mother about 10 years ago.
Oh.
And that's where Reverse Abeat came in.
Mm. Mm.
And my mother died suddenly, and she was on life support.
Mm.
And it was a very, she was, you know, my world. And it was just, you know, at that time, it was a very hard thing for me to go through because she was my biggest, like my rock.
Yeah.
And to have that kind of responsibility of, you know, taking somebody off of life support is...
That's a biggie.
Is, yeah, it never leaves you.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It never leaves you because it was extremely sudden. It happened in the snap of my finger, and she was brain dead, and that was it.
Wow.
And it's like there, you know, there's no finality for me. There's no closure in it.
Yeah.
So you have to make peace in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to make peace in a lot of different ways with some that weren't the best ways, and, you know, acting out in different ways.
Yeah, but I think a lot of us go through that when we are confronted, whether it's losing a family member or dealing with our own rejections through our coming out journeys. We eventually find ways to make peace with it. Not all of them are going to be the best. I mean, when I was going through my coming out journey and leaving my wife and knowing that I was, you know, causing this pain with my kids, I mean, my not good ways of handling it was I drank wine like a fish and ate top ramen. That's how I survived for a year.
I did it too.
You know, by the end of that year, I'm like, yeah, I looked, well, I didn't look really good because I'd lost a ton of weight. I looked almost sick, but it was the only way I could get through it until I woke myself up and said, wait, this isn't living either. This is another closet I put myself into. And for me, the pivot was going, okay, I know what I want. I want to continue to be a really beautiful father. I want to have a relationship with my kids. I want to have the best relationship possible with my ex-wife. And I want to become somebody in the world that doesn't let this kind of stuff take me down and knock me out. So I think for each of us, in your case, it was, you know, Reverse the Beat that kind of brought this forward where you could write it and then bring it forward now, all these years later, to turn it into something really powerful and a beautiful beat, upbeat, party. Just, I was listening to it earlier, I'm like, this just has such a good vibe to it. You want to be dancing in your seat. You want to be having fun. You want to be high-fiving. You want to be hugging people. So you've done an amazing job of bringing it back around the other direction. I just wanted to give you a high five virtually about that one. So, but it's a real departure from somewhat, there's a little more heart and depth in this than some of your previous music, right?
Well, I think I'm finally allowing myself to thrive,
mm-hmm.
where previously I wanted to do it, but I didn't do it with the intent that I did this collaboration, this song mm-hmm. with, because the song itself is so important to me. And all music, when I work on it, is very important to me. But at this one, it was my baby, so to say, and it represented something I really believe in, and my mom, and it represented a moment of real doubt. And then I saw what was going on in this country, so I changed a few of the lyrics around, and I was like, this song deserves to be now.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be out now, and so I worked my ass off on it, and I find that I'm now creating differently, mm-hmm. and I'm creating from a place of love and of really wanting to do it, mm-hmm. where I feel like that there's more hope than we think. Especially as trans people, there's the trans people in the music industry. It's hard, but you know what? Life is hard.
Yep.
So now I have more tools, so to say.
Yeah.
I have more tools in my toolbox. So I'm able to work in it without so much of a heavy head, if that makes any sense to you.
Well, no, it seems like what I'm hearing you say and what I picked up in the song is, yes, there's some beautiful tools and things within the song, but it's coming from a very light place. It's like, it's almost like a torchbearer. It's like, let's do this. We can do this. It's about bringing it forward. And as I said in the intro, it's about not letting it believe that this is where we are. We're not done. We're not through. We're not, you know, none of this. It's about stepping forward. And you've done such a beautiful job of letting those lyrics speak for themselves and also honoring your own craft from where you came from 10 years ago when this was the original song and making it into something present day that people can really relate to. So again, you've done a beautiful, amazing job of making it something that you should be proud of and that other people hopefully will like as much as you do. I'm sure people who got to experience it at Pride both times are just like, yes, this was great. And it becomes that.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah.
I had a great time, a great response, and I'm very grateful. I love performing it. I love performing in general all over. I'm just having a great time.
Awesome. So what's next? What's next on the horizon for you, Dina?
Well, we're working on new music. We're going to shoot a music video for this. We start on that next week. And I'm finishing up conservatory in about 3 weeks' time, so that'll take some of the workload off of me. And there's some new dates coming up that I haven't announced yet. Yep. We don't have that secured yet.
No,
so I don't want to make anything.
Yeah. No, I understand that. So that's awesome.
I don't want to lock myself into anything.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I know part of what you really want to do is you want to be that light bearer. You want to be that person who really, you know, inspires people. So if we have, and I'm sure we do, have some individuals listening who are, you know, in the throes of, is this who I am, questioning their gender identity, wanting to move forward. Maybe they've started their own personal journey. Maybe they are in transition. What would be some advice you'd love to leave those people with as they start their move towards themselves?
Don't rush. Don't rush.
Oh,
do it the right way. And I would definitely say, you know, I definitely seek a healthcare provider that has knowledge about hormone therapy. And I would also definitely suggest you should definitely see a therapist or find groups. There are groups all over. There's resources all over the internet. This is the age of the internet. We didn't have the internet way back when I was a kid, so I couldn't research things. I bought hormones off the street. I don't suggest anybody do that. Always remember that you're counted, that you're wanted, and you're needed. And to be your true self is one of the most empowering acts that you can ever do for the world and for yourself.
Yeah.
Because people need to see all the colors and people need to see that we're all different and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And don't give up.
Yeah, I think that
in a world that tells you that you shouldn't exist, don't give up.
Right.
Because you should exist and you do exist and you are wanted.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up. I was attending a conference a few weeks ago, National Speakers Association, and there were three opening speakers that were people of color, people with, you know, some handicaps, and some people who had really gone through some deep dive stuff, being, you know, abused and physically threatened in their life. And the overriding theme that each of the three of them brought into those opening sessions was don't give up. And it was so powerful. And none of them were gay, lesbian, bisexual. But it was so interesting to see that common thread bound us all together. And it really set the tone for the conference because that was the common theme that they all brought forward, is not to give up. And I love what you just shared about not rushing and doing things the right way. Because one of the beliefs I have, and those of you that have listened to this podcast throughout the years, is you're going to do it your way and you're going to do it on your own timeline. And anybody who tries to push you faster, harder, quicker, it's not their journey. It's your journey.
And enjoy it.
And enjoy
it. Absolutely. Beautiful.
It can be. And part of the, I think, part of the reason, Dina, you brought up this don't rush it is if you rush it, you may miss some of the beauty of the journey. You may miss some learning.
Exactly.
You may step over something that you really need to be learning in that moment. And as hard as it may be, as dark as it may be at times, just embrace some of that, because in each darkness, there's light.
And there's a lesson.
There's always a lesson. There's always something we can learn from it. Even when it's the hardest thing, it hurts our heart. We feel like we're, you know, the only person on earth feeling this. The truth is you're not. There's other people going through.
No, you're not. You're not alone.
You're never alone.
You're not alone. There are resources out there for you, and they should definitely get on that internet and call everybody you have to call. Build up your network so that you have support. Go to support groups. Affiliate yourself with groups that you connect with.
Yeah.
Just help out there. Empower yourself with the knowledge.
And, right. Well, one of the most
education.
Well, one of the most empowering things you can do is say, I'm going to get myself some help. That's the first step. If you hover
Absolutely.
And hide in your closets and you believe you can't get help, that's the biggest disservice that you're doing yourself. And I know Dean and I are both kind of up on our soapbox right now about this, but trust yourself to give yourself permission to go get help. It doesn't mean you're weak. It doesn't mean you're a freak. It doesn't mean you don't have the capacity because all of us need help along this journey, no matter what our journey is.
It's very true. And you said the word freak. And I use that word in reverse. I use that word for a reason. Is because that's what I was called as a kid.
Yep.
And that's what I was called during my transition. And I wanted to take that word and give it power and the right power, not the way it was thrown at me.
Yep.
I wanted to use it as a statement of let's make them freak. Like, let's
yes.
show them that we can do it. I love that word now.
Yes, it's a powerful word.
It's funny how the word that kind of destroyed me as a kid, I took and I just reversed it for myself.
Yes. And that's why you are so powerful in naming the song, Reverse the Beat. And I can tell that you're reversing the beat every time you share yourself with the world and in your music. And I just want to say big heartfelt, big teddy bear hug here from Southern California to you. Thank you for spending your time with us and sharing your
beautiful self.
And I just so appreciate you.
I appreciate you. And thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be on your show. I'm happy to be on it, and I had a great conversation. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. And we'll keep you in mind for future shows as more stuff grows and your career continues to thrive, and can't wait to have you back again in the very near future. So thanks again so much, Dina, for being just who you are in the world.
Thank you.
Yep, that's it. That means it's time to say goodbye to another episode of the Coming Out Lounge. I'm so glad you joined me. I'm Rick Clemons, the Coming Out Coach, that guy who helps you simplify your life to make the big, bold moves you've got coming your way. And I want to say thank you for just listening, giving us ratings and reviews, wherever you give us ratings and reviews, for however you're sharing us with the world, because you know what? You're helping make the world a better place. Now, I also know that some of you that are listening are like, I need to make a move. I need to do something big. One of the best ways to make an immediate move is to go to thecomingoutlounge.com and look for the coaching button. Yeah, there's some little buttons on the show pages and on the homepage that talk about the coaching sessions that dive right in to start doing some coaching with me around specific subjects around coming out. I'd love to work with you on those. So go check that out. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, always, always reach out to us at 949-371-8559, 949-371-8559. Or you can also drop me a line at rick@rickclemons.com. And that is Clemons, C-L-E-M-O-N-S, rick@rickclemons.com. And I'd love to hear from you and chat back and forth about whatever's going on in your life. But until then, never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your powerful truth, because it's simple. Be bold to live life uncloseted. Take care, everyone.